Thank you all for being here. I mean, I am so incredibly grateful for all your support because we're here today to, I want to say celebrate, but commemorate launch of the Path to Pet Wellness, which if you don't have, I hope you're all gonna order or read the ebook online because it's been 20 years in the making. And I was actually looking at a document, an email that went out to our community almost a decade ago, and it was talking about what we're going to be talking about today. So, Nicole, I know Nicole, it's been a long journey for us. So I want to call a couple of people out at the very beginning. One is, I think she's here, but you don't have to say anything, is my wife Amy, who's been an
It's Amy.
incredible.
She's here.
Incredible support, and without whom the book would not be possible. And the artist, Raphael Edwards, is not here today, but the wonderful Nicole Myers, who connected me with Raphael. Raphael and Nicole, the reason I'm calling them out is not only the beautiful illustrations, but they drove the path forward. If it wasn't for them, the book would not have been published. Because they kept needling me and saying, "Remember how you keep asking for these great illustrations?" Well, we got the great illustrations, but the book was not altogether. Nicole, do you want to say anything before we get going for a minute? Or I know we're
No,
running.
I just want to congratulate everybody because it was great working with Jeff, and it was really a development that he spent so much time and love trying to do. And I do the production part of the creative part of it, and Raphael Edwards is the illustrator who also put a great deal of love and care into it. So congratulations on it's a wonderful book. Very inspiring, and I think really needed in this moment. So thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. I appreciate that. I guess I should say a few words about really why we're here and why I went through all this, because it really was a big rigmarole for me to get it all organized. And it's really just one reason. We're here today for one reason, and that reason is to learn to think differently about our approach and our relationship and our love for animals. And I say think differently because we are all ingrained to see our animals, as not as living beings that are part of nature and part of us that they are, but rather as these separate, disconnected entities. And really, the intent of the book and for us coming together today was that we are all connected. In fact, I would love to open with a little quick chat question. Can I ask everyone to just close their eyes for a second and imagine a world where every person truly feels well, confident, and connected. What would that look like? What would that world look like? One sentence, one word of what that world would look like. And I've got my world. Yeah, relief and happiness. We'd all be happy. We'll all be joining Miss Maya in that world of joy. Yeah. Well, yeah, conscious communication is indeed what it's all about. So this book is really, it's a reframe. It doesn't reject conventional care at all. I mean, I started my career as a scientist, and for a decade, didn't even know about this consciousness or energy or any of this stuff that you can read in the book. But really, it's expanding our thoughts. So we're realizing that conventional care and the diagnostic stuff is all really important, but there's a lot more. And actually, we're going to open today with a little ceremony by Grandmother Nancy. Grandma, are you here? Yeah, I
She
don't
needs
think
to unmute. She needs to unmute first. I tried to send her an invitation to
I
unmute.
yeah, she's saying that her computer is not allowing her to unmute. But Grandma is here in spirit. And I'll just summarize the past number of years of my studies with her, but basically from her indigenous wisdom of us all being connected, all beings being connected. She verified time and time again that what we're talking about today is super, super important for the animals, and that the animals are waiting for this. And I'm God.
I would just add in, it's really the reverence for all life, not just the animals in our lives, but all life and all plants. And the kinship view is, it's like we're kin to everyone. And so that engenders trust, which resolves fear. So it's about listening and being and communicating.
And a lot of this stuff used to be or is considered to be magic. Well, I'll give you a little backstory that before I got into science, I was a magician. And doing my two passion projects as a young kid were science and magic. And scientists now are verifying what is what we used to call magic. And that was actually one of the things that Grandma was going to talk about. But it's Dr. Christina mentioned trust. It really is trust, and it's trust in the natural laws that govern all of life. They are laid out a little bit in the book, but we're talking about natural laws like the law of gravity. We don't wake up in the morning and put our feet on the ground and distrust that gravity is going to hold us on the ground. So let's trust in the energetic nature of our animals, because the laws of conservation of energy and laws of energy apply to the body just like they apply to all the world. And in vet school, we only learn about energy by the way of the little organs in our bodies called the mitochondria that generate the energy in our bodies. But we're looking beyond that, where energy, the energy lens of what we're looking at through the path to pet wellness, which basically goes from mitochondria up to mindfulness. And mindfulness really is directly related to mitochondrial function, because what we'll learn is as we get happier, our mitochondria function better and our energy flow is better. And Gail, you kind of Gail Cook wrote a beautiful little book about one of the cats and her shelter and her rescue that have benefited from energy work. And Gail, would you just talk a little bit about your story about Fraser that's in the book?
How could anybody talk just a little bit about Frasier? I don't know. Actually, I have his story here, and rather than maybe I can do this in a couple of minutes. It's a lot shorter than what's in the book, but he was a very, very, very special man. Okay. Frasier was a skinny, long-haired tabby man whose 7 years at Brighthaven included a 4-year experience with an aggressive facial cancer. And an amazing death at the grand age of 34 years. Some people believe the cancer took him from us, but we think it was simply his time. Fraser was not an entirely normal elderly man. He loved to have fun and to play crazily, and he even created an imaginary playmate, much to the disgust of some of our other more dignified senior residents. The cancer appeared slowly, initially as a snuffle and then as a strange hard lump on his face, which then multiplied with tumours, playing hide and seek across his face and forehead to take root over his left eye and gradually engulfing it. But Fraser cared not. He had a life to live and found it strange how sad some of the humans became and how some visitors didn't seem to love him quite so much anymore. We turned, as always, to our Brighthaven menu for healing, with homeopathy, of course, leading the way. Actually, I think Christina was the very person who introduced us to homeopathy, along with one of my volunteers. And from then, I met Jeff and many, many other homeopathic prescribers to many, many more miracles of healing. Okay, eventually the tumours began to subside in size, revealing fresh pink skin in places. Most amazing was that as the swelling and discharge decreased, his actual eye that had been hidden for many months could be seen again, still completely intact. By human standards, his face looked pretty bad. His fur shone like glass, and his beautiful eyes sparkled brightly to match. But his sadly misshapen face was often oozing blood or pus, not an easy sight for most people to bear. There were times when visitors could be heard muttering such things as, "He should be put out of his misery," or, "Oh my goodness, that looks just dreadful." However, Fraser, who must have been the oldest of souls, let us know by his sunny attitude each and every day that one must learn to look beyond the outer surface and see deep into the blissful, infinite place within. In other words, one must learn to see with their heart, not just with our eyes, because the heart sees the truth that all beings are perfect. Fraser finally died in 2006 to become known as the 34-year-old cat hero who refused to die. Actually, the amazing story of his transition must be for another day, and is, of course, included in Jeff's wonderful book. I believe that if we can even try to live our lives half as well as he, then we will have learned his lessons well. That was Fraser.
Thank you, Gail. And you alluded to your menu for healing. And that's one, if you could just take a minute to, because that's really the basis for why we're here. Why don't you tell us what the menu starts and ends with?
Well, actually, the menu wasn't deliberately created, and you and Christina were part of making it too, because it was really that part of our lives. I mean, it was 25 more than that years ago as I started learning that there were other ways other than my conventional approach that I'd learned, and taking baby steps into incorporating different things into the way we worked. I met lots of other practitioners from the worlds that I'd never even heard of in those days, like Reiki and acupressure, acupuncture. They were all brand new to us back then. However, we started first with homeopathy and started to see amazing things. And then as we started experiencing, again, herbs, Western herbs, Chinese herbs, little by little, it was like, oh, it was mind-blowing. So little by little, we started to see that each animal could create a balance using some of these things, maybe not all, but it was always homeopathy, classical veterinary homeopathy, just, I guess, stole our hearts, or mine anyway, and it still does. And so we started making a list of, what is this? What's important in what we do? What do we do for each and every animal? But let's write it down so we can do it. And that's where the menu came from. And we realized at that time that it was all about love. I think that was a saying that became really well known as me saying it's all about love. And so we devised the steps as love, diet, diagnostics, classical veterinary homeopathy, for care at all life stages, all transitions, both in and both out. an alternative vaccination protocol, immune and organ support. That was always really important, and we did that for everybody. And then the world of intuition, which had blown our minds away, followed by the natural path to death. And that was some amazing, incredible animal learning that we went through with that. For instance, actually, Christina paved the way. I wasn't on that page at that time, but I had a cat who I thought was dying. I mean, I knew she was dying. Heck, I worked for a vet, I knew these things. And I knew that Cindy was dying. And Christina came into the picture, told me very sternly to just, don't well, sit down and listen to her. And the long story short, Cindy lived. She lived on with an acute renal failure that couldn't be cured. And I kind of learned that cure is a word that I need to let go of at that point. And then, of course, Fraser taught us that cure? Cure what? So that's kind of where the menu came from. It was called the menu for healing, and then it got the nickname the love sandwich because it began with love and ended with love. And
That
we
is
still do it.
perfect, Gail. That is so wonderful.
Thank you.
I loved that I got to be a part of that. That's wonderful. Dr. Jeff, Thank you,
what's
Gail.
next?
I was just gonna thank Gail for opening my eyes 25 or more years ago to power of love. Because yeah, because and you allowed your animals to be themselves, and you saw them as who they were, and that is really why I think they lived so long. Christina, my screen keeps popping around. Is that you?
Yeah, I have no idea how to do this, and you haven't
Yeah,
answered my
done.
chat, so.
Okay, yeah, just leave it be. And
Okay.
Frazier's story was really to help us all see that symptoms are not the individual, and that love can help us transcend and move from seeing only symptoms to seeing and helping the individual. And I would love it, Sue. I think I saw Sue here. Can you? I don't know if she wants to come up or just maybe say a few words about Rainy is a story about her dog that's in the book. And I'm not going to say anything about Rainy because I think Sue wants to.
Well, I will say that Rainey wasn't my first dog with homeopathy. Misha got me started in a dog training class. Jen knew Debbie with her Afghans. Debbie was the one who got me started with you, with Misha, and it went from there. And I will also say that Rainey's one of my friends from another life. And she was always a chow hound. And then one day, when she wasn't eating as fast, and she always followed me around the house, no matter wherever I went, I had a little furry shadow, and she stopped doing that. And it just said to me something was up. And I was glad I went. I went to Dr. Jeff, I went to the vets, and it was a hard time. And when I finally brought Rainey home, I wasn't sure how long I was going to have her after that. But I did, I got to tell you, you know how we've talked about talking to your animals? I talked to Rainey and I asked her if she'd stay for me for a while. And so she did. And I got a lot of good time with her. And at the end, Rainey stopped taking her pills. She told me it was time. And it just went from there. But the whole time we were treating her, happy dog. Went on walks every day, happy little girl.
Thank you, Sue. And the reason Rainy was in the book, two main lessons. One is that to learn about the beam blueprint in the book, and Sue is using the beam blueprint to be able to pick up
Yeah.
early disease detection. And you'll see that she talks about something that's called the hurry up sound. Remember, you
Yes.
talked
Well,
about that.
she used to bark. She used to spin around in circles to get fed. And when
And
she came up,
the only way you knew her sick was She stopped doing that.
Yeah.
And then you brought her in, yeah. And then, of course, your experience in the ICU were sure that she would never get out of because she was in heart failure and she was, yeah.
Right. And granted, we did a lot of dosing with her with different remedies. We did conventional meds. I also what she took heart blood pressure meds, and we got her pressure checked once a month. I was always checking her urine for the content with the little gizmo you told me about, checking her temperature. So I was on the lookout for any changes.
Yeah, and I guess everyone can do that. Everyone can detect disease early. It's one of those things where you know your animal's off. Go to the vet, they run all the tests, and it all comes back negative, but we know that something's going on internally. And Sue, thank you for sharing that. And you also shared a little bit of what is possible for the body to heal. And I think Jen and the story of Gator would be a great way to follow that up. So Jen, are you okay if I do that? Could you
I
talk a
am
little
here
about
for
Gator?
you
Oh,
for
thank
everything
you.
for that story. Absolutely. Absolutely. I Gator was my first pug, and he at that time in my life was the very closest friend that I had, and just one of those soulmate relationships. I competed with him in agility and obedience, particularly obedience at the very highest levels. Unknown, Gator was a pug, and pugs are not known for their obedience abilities, but he competed at the very highest levels, which I use as testament to the depth of the relationship that we had. And when he was 12, about 12 and a half, and he had been on a raw diet since he was 3. And I had been doing homeopathy with him with another vet prior to this event. But when she was out of the country, actually, when this all occurred, and I noticed that something just wasn't right. Something just wasn't right. Something was off. And I took him to the conventional vet that I was using at that time, and we did blood work, and his red blood count was down to about 18, which was about half of what the low kind of normal level was, which terrified me. I was a vet tech for a conventional vet for many, many years, have spent my entire life in the company of animals professionally and personally, and I knew that that was not a good scenario. His CBC actually dropped to 12 at one point, and he did get a transfusion and spent a couple of days in the emergency hospital, and they sent me home with steroids and a couple of other immune suppressive drugs. Gator was diagnosed with an aplastic anemia. So basically his bone marrow had shut down and he was not producing any new blood cells to replace the ones that were dying off. So I was advised to give him these two medications and bring him back every other day for another CBC to see where his blood counts were. And I had many, many conversations with God over these days. And I actually credit this whole event with re-sparking, reigniting my relationship with my understanding of God. And I surrendered
I absolutely surrendered all attachments to the outcome, to trying to control the outcome, and knew as a vet tech what the side effects of the treatments that he had been prescribed were. And I decided that whatever time he had left, whether it was one day or a month or a year, I was going to make that the best I possibly could. So I decided not to pursue the conventional treatments. And that is when I met Dr. Jeff. And this was in 2007, I believe, 2006 or seven. And we took a very detailed history. We spent a lot of time together. And Dr. Jeff prescribed a remedy. And I did a few things. I gave him the homeopathic medicine, I gave him one dose of it. And I did a lot of visualization, both during meditation, and I also printed out pictures of him on my computer and actually drew in little factories over the places where I know blood cells are formed. And I drew little towers with blood cells, spewing out of them, and did a lot of visualization and really just kind of, did visualization of how he would be when he was well. And it happened to be my anniversary of the significant other I had at the time. And I was sitting on the floor wrapping a couple of gifts for him. And Gator was lying down maybe 6 or 8 feet away from me. And Dr. Jeff has heard me say this many times, as have probably many of you. I saw the very moment when he went from a dying dog to a living dog, and literally saw that the change in breath, the change in energy, the change in everything. And he got up and came to me. And at that moment, I knew he was going to be okay. And he was okay. He was great. I did not take him back for any more CBCs for probably a couple of weeks after that first initial come home from the emergency clinic. And when I did take him back, it was back up into the high 30s. It was up, well into the normal range. And Gator lived another almost 7 years after that diagnosis. So I can't say enough about homeopathy it specifically, but also about how our energy, how our spirit, how our intentions make a difference with our animals. Just sharing connection and surrendering to whatever higher power you believe in. And allowing and supporting the body and healing itself. I'm so grateful for the over 20 years now that we've been living this life.
Well, thank you, Jan. And yeah, Gator was the original testimonies to what is possible by healing of the body. And that is really what we're here to embrace, is what is possible in the healing process. Now, what if the worst? We're not, like Gail said, we're not looking at the problems. We're not looking at the skin and cats or the cat tumors. And we're saying, oh, the poor soul, but we're looking at the quality of life. And if they're happy, we can all be happy. And I think, Dr. Gianna, do you want to talk a little bit about Arrow?
Well,
Arrow in
his
the
real name,
book.
yeah, he's Arrow in the book, because we actually talked this about this book many, many, many years ago when I was still competing with Chinook, which is his real name. And we were competing in a number of venues. He was a really fantastic fly ball dog, and we traveled all over the country playing fly ball together. And I didn't vaccinate him, so he had to be Arrow in the book.
Because I didn't want anybody. Anyhow, the thing about this was that his story really started with Cosmo, who was my Weimaraner, and who had suffered terrible emotional and physical damage from his puppy vaccinations. And that's really what set me on this whole path. You know, I went from the kibble that the breeder had told me to feed him to doing homemade cooked meals and so on. And each time I sort of adjusted, he improved, but he wasn't healed, and I knew he wasn't healed. And so when he turned around 3, I felt he really needed a companion. And we'd managed to get him sort of stable enough that we could have another dog in the house. And I was looking for one that could really play with him. I knew he needed a brother, basically. And so I went hunting for a naturally reared Australian Shepherd. And I found one at Daybreak Kennels in Waupaca, Wisconsin. Sorry, it's very emotional for me. Anyway, Chinook became Cosmo's best friend. And about a year previous to that, when I had been talking to Cheryl Kaminsky about a potential puppy, I had said, you know, I was really looking for a new homeopath. I had started out with one, and I don't want to name him, but I felt that he caused too many adverse reactions, that we were having very serious aggression issues in response to some of the homeopathic remedies. And so she gave me the names of 3 homeopaths that she thought were great, and you were one of them, Dr. Jeff. And at the time, I knew nothing about homeopathy. I own it, but I trusted Cheryl. And I picked you at the time because I lived in Nashville, Tennessee, and I thought, if I need to put my dog in the car and drive to Connecticut, I can do it, because the others were in California. And I thought that that was just going to be undoable for this particular dog. So anyway, that's how we started with Dr. Jeff, and it was late 2002 or 2003. So by the time my fantastic athlete got sick, and it was again one of these things where suddenly he was just off. And he was a real go-getter. His motto was, "I can do it, Mom." And when he said, when we went to a practice and he was a bit lackadaisical, I thought, oh dear, what's going on? And at the time, there was a pneumonia going around the canine community here. And everybody said, you know, the minute you see any signs, off to the vet because it's a really tenacious one. So I thought, oh, that's what it must be. And so off I went to the vet. The vet who was treating Chinook knew him. And he was always, you know, really bright and cheerful and so on, and he was a bit down, and she said, "He is a bit off. Let's do an x-ray. There's something just not right here." And they found that his lungs were just surrounded with a huge amount of fluid, and his heart and everything was just getting congested, and they didn't know what it was, but immediately booked us into the Nashville veterinary specialists, and they did a workup, and they didn't know what it was. And that was, I think, a Friday, and they told us to come back on Monday. And over the weekend, I was in constant touch with Dr. Jeff, and he was making me count respirations, and I don't know what we were all doing. But anyway, on the Monday, we got back to the vet, and they said, "Well, let's do an exploratory surgery." And I said, "Over my dead body. If you don't know what you're looking for, you're not putting him on the operating table." And the vet who actually owned the specialist practice was very cross with me. And he said, "Well, before we get ourselves all bent out of shape, let me at least put my hands on him." And he put his hands on him. He said, "Oh my gosh, every single lymph node is in his entire body is swollen." And so then they checked, and it was lymphoma. And they immediately started with a prednisone thing and so on. And the conventional, and I was back with Dr. Jeff and said, "What do we do? What do we do? It's lymphoma." And he said, "Well, lymphoma is going to move really rapidly, so we need the chemo. But we're going to support him with homeopathy and with nutritional supplements as well." And we got a little window sort of grace because they started with prednisone and he reacted to it very well. And it gave me an opportunity to do what Dr. Jeff calls me search. And I just went, luckily, this digital age, I just went onto the internet and I found so many resources. There's the Australian Institute of Holistic Medicine, where a graduate student had just put a dissertation up
where she had talked about all the different nutrients that help attenuate and also attenuate the effects of certain of the chemo drugs and also ameliorate some of the side effects. And she did it drug by drug, and I could pick out the drugs they were using for Chinook, and I incorporated that in his diet and so on. And so in the end, I had, I don't, you know, he got this, he was such a good dog. He was in this, man, I can do this, mom. He took all his supplements. He was, but the main thing was to keep him really happy. And because he was such a can-do dog, I mean, he went from 47 pounds to 32 in a matter of 2 weeks. And he was weak, but he still, you know, he spiritually still wanted to do stuff. So we did puzzles and we did little walks and you know we did we started to work on scent work because it was something he could do with that wasn't super physical but that kept him really interested and happy. And then as he got stronger, oh, by the way, they gave him 9 months to live, including the 6 months of chemo. But the supplements, they got a new during this. Like we, for the first month, we only had an internist, and then they got an oncology specialist. And he was wonderful because he said, I will give him as much as he will tolerate. Because a lot of times with dogs, they don't do that because dogs don't feel well. And then they say, well, this is not fun. I'm not having a good life. And they kind of give up. And he said, as long as he's happy and he's strong and he's willing, I will continue to up his doses and we'll see if we can actually get rid of the lymphoma. And that's what happened. He was almost hairless towards the end, but he was doing all sorts of things. He was duck herding instead of sheep herding because the sheep were a little bit much, but the ducks were manageable. And we went on hikes and then, you know, he began his chemo on June 21st, 2012. And on January 13th, 2013, he ran his first flyball competition again. And he was just over the moon. He was having so much fun. And just as one of the other speakers mentioned, I heard people say, "Oh, isn't that awful? Look at that. She's bringing that dog with almost no hair to play flyball." And you know, and I said to one of my teammates, "If he dies on the lane, he'll die happy." That was his. And of course, he didn't die on the lane. He lived another 7 years, and he competed in flyball until he was 12, and he always talked trash to the other start dogs, especially if it was a border collie. Your mother wears army boots just because you're a border collie. You're not getting to that box before me. So he had a really, you know, he was a really good lesson in the resilience of a spirit, I thought.
And you were a good lesson in persisting, patience, loving, and looking for multiple approaches.
I want to tell you, I have had these conversations with many people. You really have to fight. I had one conversation with Dr. Vansel. He arrived from California. When he first came, he was really keen on doing the supplements, but then the owners of the practice, I think, probably legal liability, I'm not sure, caused him to pull back. And he said, you know, I can't support, but I'll let you do whatever you want. And I just said to him, well, Dr. Vansel, I know it's a risk, you know, but it's my risk and I'm willing to take it, and it's my heart that breaks if it doesn't work. So he let me do it, but he couldn't, and it was a real battle. Sometimes I felt alone. I was very glad I had Dr. Jeff.
Yep, and that's
Me
what Holistic
see.
Actions does too, is gives you that community support group. So,
Yeah.
and Dr. Jeff is a great partner, right?
Well, I just want to
Over
accentuate.
20 years, it's a long time. And
It
he's still,
is,
you know, helping me with my new puppy. She's right there and
baby.
she's very sweet, but also needs confidence.
For sure. And you just called out really, really not only that prognosis, 9 months at best is average for lymphoma, but years and years, like you had good years was just amazing. And what you really, I think, highlighted was the importance of building a vet care team.
Oh,
A
yeah.
team, your internist, your oncologist, your homeopath,
Right.
your, yeah.
Yeah, and I had lots of
So.
help. I haven't mentioned all the people. It's just amazing. I felt sometimes, just before that happened with Chinook, we'd had this huge flood in our area, and there had been this kind of joke going around about this man who was in his house, and a boat came by and wanted to save him, and he was on the first floor, and he said, "No, I'll wait. God will save me." And then the water came to the second floor and the third floor, and finally, he's at the roof, and a helicopter comes by and says, "I'll pick you up." He goes, "No, God will save me." Well, he didn't make it, and then he said, "Why didn't you save me, God?" He said, "Sent you two boats and a helicopter," and he refused them all. And that was in the back of my mind. And I thought, I will not refuse anything. I will take help wherever it manifests itself, no matter where it comes from. I'm going to take that help. So that's what I
Excellent.
tried to do. I
Thank you.
tried to be really open-minded and just try to find things that I thought would possibly help and really listen to Chinook, how he was responding to them.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. And I think that I'm going to, let's see, how can we do this? I think we're going to gradually, wrap up, but I really want to wrap up with the fact that we've got a bunch of veterinarians on here today, and there are a bunch of veterinarians that are on the same path. And I wrote the book, and we're all here today just so that non-veterinarians know that there is a path and that we can follow it. And one of the stories in the book is by a veterinarian. And Dr. Veronique, would you tell us a little bit about your kitty, Tara?
Yes, for sure. Hello, everyone. Yes, actually Darwin was a patient of Dr. Jeff for the last year and a half of his life, and I have to say that I was seeing the, as a veterinarian myself, I was kind of seeing the limits of what conventional medicine could do in the last few years in my last few years of practicing before I actually started learning homeopathy, the path of the disease of Darwin with Dr. Jeff actually really showed me part of the extent of what homeopathy can do. He had actually wonderful results until the end of his life. He was 14 when he started seeing Dr. Jeff, but he had already advanced pathologies, pancreatic disease, kidney disease. He actually eventually also developed. Actually, through an ultrasound that I took him for, he eventually we found out that he also had liver masses. So he had a lot going on. Despite all these severe pathologies, homeopathy did wonders for him. And he responded really well all through the disease process and the disease progression, and until the end. I'm just summarizing here his case because I know
Yeah,
we're running out of time.
I know he's had a very long and complicated case, and you can definitely
Yeah, yeah,
read
yeah, yeah.
more in the
So
book in
basically,
this.
we kept him happy until the end of his life. Actually, towards the end of his life, he loved traveling and he loved going in the motor home. And we even traveled with him from Northern Ontario all the way to Tofino, British Columbia. With him all along for 25 days at the end of his life, a couple months before the end of his life, and he was so happy with that. I was giving him subcutaneous. I was giving him
Thanks,
subcutaneous
Rafa.
fluids. I had all the bags of fluids in the motor home. I had calculated how much I needed for the trip, and he had a wonderful time. So homeopathy brought in his life back, really. The quality of life was amazing right until the end. I would say that even he had the best of both worlds, I think, because we, through his homeopathic treatment, we were also using diagnostic tools from conventional medicine, blood work, ultrasound. And at some point, he started having anemia. He was showing anemia. He was
He had non-regenerative anemia, which is common with kidney disease. But with a change of remedy, within a month, he turned that into a highly regenerative anemia. And he was vomiting blood at the time because of likely because of the kidney disease. And that all turned around and he stopped vomiting blood, which was quite amazing to see. And at the very, very end, maybe I'll just read the one paragraph from the book just to show how it helped him even at the end. On the night of, here it is, the last paragraph of his story. On the night of March 15, he let out a howling meow and turned his head from side to side like he was searching for Veronique. Oh, that's me. She was not far away since she'd stayed up with him. As soon as she got closer to him, Darwin grabbed her hands with his front paws, dragged himself towards her, and meowed as if to show his appreciation that she was right there with him, making it obvious he wanted her to stay with him. Then he rested his head into her hand and peacefully passed away at the age of 16. As sad as Veronique was, she felt privileged that Darwin wanted to spend his last moments with her and believes homeopathy greatly improved Darwin's quality of life until the end. So I think right up until the end, it was very, very helpful for him. And not only did homeopathy greatly improve his quality of life, I think it also improved the quality of his death in some way. What I was also using is I was talking about diagnostic tools, but what I also used to assess the disease progression, along with the follow-ups from Dr. Jeff, was the BEAM method that he's been teaching. That was really, really helpful all through the disease process. And I was grading it from 1 to 10 each day and even several times a day. And towards the end of his disease, I was even grading from 1 to 10 each letter of the BEAM, his behavior, his energy, his appetite, his mood. And grading it really helped assessing how he was responding to the remedies and how the disease was progressing. So that was all very helpful. I really wish more veterinarians, pet parents, people in general, could learn about homeopathy, about this great healing modality. Because to conclude, I would say that through the homeopathic treatment and the observations that I was doing, following his case and grading his BEAM and all that, I find that I developed a very strong connection with Darwin through all that, a very close connection. And I think in various ways, I think he showed me that connection was mutual. It was very special. It was very special. And I had not experienced any of that with not that type of connection with the other animals that I had in the past that I had lost that were treated solely with conventional medicine. That connection that I had with Darwin was very different, and I think homeopathy had something to do with that. And of course, the love, I mean, for him, that's for sure. And Dr. Jeff's advice all the way through. Sometimes I was also using Holistic Actions Forum, which was also very, very useful for some emergency questions that I had at times, through the multiple follow-ups as well. So all that was also very, very helpful. But it turned out to be a great story. That's in Dr. Jeff's book.
What I mean, the reason I'm fascinated for Veronique is what helped you bridge that gap between the conventional world and where you ended up? Because that is actually exactly what you said, is trying to get more veterinarians to be doing what we're talking about, what we can all do. But what inspired you to look further?
And when I was in veterinary medicine, a lot of the chronic cases I was using were having a lot of side effects to the medications that I
Effects.
was prescribing. I actually lost a cat patient to actually a perforated gastric ulcer, and he was on a medication for arthritis that had the possible side effect of causing gastric ulcers. And I actually lost that patient. And it did affect me. And I was thinking at that point, I have to try to find something. There's got to be something else out there that can help these patients. So that brought me to try to widen the span of what I wanted to use to treat my patients. And then that's how I got to Holistic Actions through my own homeopath. She's the one that referred me to or mentioned Dr. Jeff's website, Holistic Actions, and that's how Darwin became a patient. And Darwin's story really inspired me to learn more about homeopathy when I started to see how he was responding to the remedies. That was quite amazing for me to see. Yeah, it was not the type of reactions that I would expect to see in conventional medicine. So to me, that really to see him going from a non-regenerative anemia to a highly regenerative anemia with a remedy, and I was not using anything else than remedies, subcutaneous fluids, and that was it. That was quite amazing.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all for sharing such transformative stories that are often difficult for us to share because do involve the whole lives of our animals and their quality of life, and that includes the quality at the end of life. And
And
really, I
Dr.
think,
I
okay.
wanted to add in to your question about what has veterinarians move. And one of the things is each of you. So many of you have shared at our webinars, et cetera, that over the years of working with your local conventional veterinarian, that they've become more and more interested in the holistic approaches by seeing the responses that you're getting. And so all the more you can do gently, lovingly, realizing that they just don't know any better because we weren't trained that way, to gently nudge them along. That is something you all have done, many of you have done wonderfully.
And it's making a big difference. I'm seeing a shift in the veterinary profession, and it's largely thanks to you all. And that is actually the main intent with the book. And that's why I would love, love, love everyone here to just give one to their veterinarian or any open-minded person on the veterinary team. To show them that there is a science-based other way. Look at life, and that it is, as Bernie implied, it is powered by the power of love, our love for our animals, and we will use that love often to transcend what our comfort zones and be able to walk with them throughout their lives. So I really think that you all are the heroes here. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do. And Dr. Christina, do you want to? I feel we're running late, but we'll
No,
go for a few more minutes. Can you just call out a few things?
sure.
Marissa?
Yeah, I got it.
So a couple of things that I just want to highlight that people have talked about. We've talked about symptoms and well-being in general. And I just want to go back to the founder of homeopathy, Samuel Hahnemann. And what he said is the highest ideal of cure, and it's okay to use the word cure, is the rapid and gentle and permanent restoration of health. And to abbreviate it is all symptoms are gone in a short, reliable, duplicatable way, following clear principles. So that's what Hahnemann says. And then we've alluded to several things. Christopher Reeve, and this now is coming from the book Path to Pet Wellness. Christopher Reeve says, once you choose hope, anything is possible. And so we've given you stories, you've heard stories today of the miracles, living 7 years, living 20 years more.
And it doesn't always happen that way. It's not accountable. Every animal we treat is going to live a super long life, but the quality of life is possible. And when you have hope, it gives you amazing possibilities because, as Veronique said, you keep looking. And as several of you said, you keep looking for something else. But also, the key is the quality of life and allowing our animals to have their symptoms. So Eckhart Tolle says, accept and then act. Whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you have chosen it. So no matter how ill your animals are, no matter what's going on, you can accept this moment as if, huh, I don't know why, but my animal and I have chosen this moment the way it is. And then he goes on to say, always work with it, not against it. And unfortunately, our conventional medicine for people and animals works against it. And instead, we want to make it symptoms, disease, discomfort, behavior problems, your friend and ally, not your enemy. This will miraculously transform your whole life. And then, one practical piece I'd like to just add, because several of you mentioned it, is it's very, very powerful if you learn different energy healing methods. And we talk in the book about, oh, maybe five of them. And there's so many more. There are dozens. Reiki, Tellington Touch, Theta Healing, all sorts of different ones. And the more, if you can learn one or two of those, keep working until you feel comfortable with one or more of them. And then you always have the ER right at your hands to start the problems. To start the healing of the problems. So you're already ready to go. I was trying to answer a question in chat at the
I
same
left
time I
that. I
said
left
that.
that Freudian slip that you go to the doctor to start the problems, but yeah, sorry, we're
Absolutely.
not gonna
And
go there. Yeah.
everybody who signed up will be getting an recording. So,
Yeah,
yes.
for sure. Yeah, so thank you for that, Christina. And that lays the foundation for what you're reading the book, which is based on the framework of homeopathy. We've broken it down into the being blueprint and the conscious, compassionate communication method we can all use with our animals that we're going to that we talked about today. And all this, you'll see the third pillar in the book is something called the VBS, the Vitality and Balance System. It's just that all this is science-based. And VBS is just science framework. So speaking back about trust, we can trust natural laws, and the natural laws that operate in our animals are reliable, reproducible, and we can harness their power through our love. We may not cognitively know that this is possible, but we feel that it's possible, and we can definitely help our animals and ourselves transcend what we're being told is our upper limit. And the upper limit is there is no limit, the sky's limit. Oh, that being said, I'm not going to share, but I did promise. We got a bunch of book reviews, and I do would love anyone on today to leave a review, whether you liked or what you liked or what you didn't like on Amazon or Goodreads or wherever. But I want to just do a quick spin the wheel, and you're not going to get to see it because I'm not sharing. But looks like Grandpa Bill on. So, yay for Grandpa. Grandpa, are you here? Yeah, I think Grandpa is here. Do you want to say a few words? Well, we'll connect afterwards about, your VIP call. And I want to again thank you all for being here. I want to especially thank you for all your love and support for all these decades. It really has been a lot of years. And Well, I appreciate you and go out and change the world. Get the book and then change the world. All right. Thank you, Dr. Christina. Thank you all. Thank you, Veronique. Thank you, Deanna. Thank you, Sue and Jen and Gail, for sharing. And thank you all for coming. And we will see you at the love webinar on Valentine's Day. And everybody will be all ready for Love Day on Saturday. So thank you all for coming. And Grandpa, shoot me an email if you don't hear from me in the next few minutes. Bye-bye.